Hello, all hut dwellers. Barath of the Hutt coming to you again. I did promise all of you that there would be a travel version of this podcast. However, when I did go out and traveled last week to the Huron Manistee National Forest, when I started recording, I didn't realize that I had not changed my sleep settings on my computer. So I only have about 5 minutes of recording, and it turns out that I've been talking to myself for 40 or so minutes total, which is very upsetting for me, but I decided to kind of shelve that to the side. We'll definitely try again sometime in the future. In the meantime, I'm just here back talking with all of you folks. I think what I'd like to do first, and this is definitely a first, is to guide everyone in a quick, peaceful meditation. So I'd like everyone to be planted firmly in a chair, in a couch, in a seat, and make sure both of your feet are on the ground. If you are standing and would like to stay standing, just make sure that your spine is straight and that both of your feet are on the ground, firmly planted as well. So just take a moment to loosen your muscles and clear everything that you are preoccupied with in your brain. All I want you to focus on is the slow breathing that you are doing right now. So for me, breathing in slowly, and then breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, let's all come back together. Keep on breathing. Breathing in. And breathing out. Cool. Something that I want to talk about very quickly today. It's nothing news related per se. I was in my car ride to the forest. I was just talking about how excited I was just to scout out the area and see how fun it could be to hike, to camp, and to fish and canoe and such. So I did go on the interwebs and find the Huron Manistee National Forest website. I just want to read to you this brief excerpt on the National Forest. So if you are curious about it as well, I'm on the USDA.gov website, and they do have information, specifically in the Forest Service section. So let's see. So the Huron Manistee National Forest, history and culture. The history of the two forests begins long before the creation of either forest. The land that is now Michigan was once an unbroken forest, inhabited by numerous Native American tribes. After European settlement of the area, logging and farming became the main forms of occupation. Land that became the forest was heavily logged in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. The land that makes up the two forests is broken up by private land, especially on the Manistee National Forest. During the Great Depression, land was bought by the Forest Service to help farmers and landowners and to inject money into the economy. However, some landowners only sold the unproductive land and kept the productive areas, thus breaking up the land purchases. The National Forest established the Huron National Forest, which is on the eastern side of Michigan, in 1909. The Huron National Forest is 437,287 acres, spreading 70 miles east to west and 30 miles north to south. The forest was renamed in 1929 after the Iroquoian tribe of the Great Lakes region, the Hurons. The Manistee National Forest was established in 1938. The name comes from a Native American word meaning the whispering through the pines. The Manistee National Forest is 538,756 acres that spreads 40 miles east to west and 70 miles north to south. And this one's on the western side of Michigan. In 1945, the Huron National Forest and Manistee National Forest were joined for administrative purposes. So, these two forests together essentially cover a vast portion of the state of Michigan. You know, as I said earlier, the Huron National Forest accompanies part of the eastern side of Michigan, and the Manistee National Forest accompanies the western side. So this very small plot of land, about an eighth of an acre, that I purchased is in Lake County near Baldwin, Michigan, on the western side of the state. And it's very close to the Pierre Marquette River. The Pierre Marquette National Scenic River is a 60-mile stretch from the junction of the Middle and Little South Branches, east of Baldwin to the old Highway 31 bridge. I need to go and find that old highway bridge now. The Bowman Lake Special Area is 1,100 acres and has both the Pierre Marquette and North County National Scenic Trail going through it. I'm getting even more excited now because I haven't really, you know, explored too much. Wheeland Lake Special Area is 2,800-acre area located near the South Branch of the Pierre Marquette River. Wow, this is getting really, really interesting. Ooh, getting really, really excited. There's an interactive map. Looks like there's some specific spots for ATVs, for fishing, for camping, for boating and canoeing. Very fun stuff. The Pierre Marquette River, being on the west side of the state, gets its source from Lake Michigan and has its humble beginnings in Ludington, Michigan. And Ludington is north of Muskegon, but south of Traverse City and Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. So it's kind of like sandwiched there right in the middle. And the river goes east and then splits into a couple of branches. My small, humble lot is near the middle branch of the lake. So, very excited to see what that holds in store. There's a lot of fishing that happens in the lake because of trout and salmon and other goodies. There's also a lake nearby my lot, which looks pretty fun. A few residential homes. Otherwise, a bunch of dirt roads. So, I do see myself using that as a camping ground for a while before I even think about doing anything else. Pretty fun stuff. So, becoming more and more of a Michigander as the weeks and months go on. Yeah, it's pretty far north. You could say it's up north because it's above halfway of Michigan. And it's not that far from Traverse City and Sleeping Bear Dunes. So, it's going to be pretty fun. I'm looking at the map of Michigan right now, and Petoskey I have yet to visit Petoskey, even though I've been up there twice. So, definitely a next trip to go to. And if anyone else would like to come with me to check out the lot and actually probably camp for a couple of days. I actually bought a two-person tent because it was on sale from REI, so that's pretty exciting. I do have a couple of sleeping bags as well. I have a blue waterproof tarp. So yeah, I think we can potentially start, you know, going out. What about a road trip / camping podcast edition? Who knows? It's all exciting stuff in this time of confusion and solitude, some might say. Something else about the Huron-Manistee National Forest. There is a flower sanctuary there. The Loda Lake Wildflower Sanctuary is home to over 230 identified species of wildflowers. That's a lot. It is the only wildflower sanctuary in the national forest system. In 1949, the sanctuary was officially established through a formal cooperative agreement between the Forest Service and Federated Garden Clubs of Michigan. Let me click on that. Let's see if they got some more information and which part of the national forest it's in. Loda Lake has had a place in history going back to its use and appreciation by the Potawatomi, one of the three tribes of the Three Fires Confederacy. In the 1830s, when the Indian Removal Act was passed, geez, that's a dark side of history, the tribe was removed from Michigan. At this same time, the logging area of Michigan was in full swing, with the forested areas logged to support the rebuilding of America after World War I. Wow. So yeah, another little tidbit on the history of Michigan. After the Great Chicago Fire in the early 1900s, because Michigan was a big logging industry, a lot of wood was transported from this state down to Chicago for them to help rebuild. There was a small town called Singapore. My godmother knows it real well. That more or less disappeared because of the overlogging that occurred that was needed for Chicago to recover and rebuild. So definitely a consequence of that. Sometimes it's a lot easier to react to huge situations, scenarios, emergencies, and not think about the long-term effects. I was watching a video earlier talking about the over-farming of lands in the Midwest, in the Dust Bowl, in Texas, in the Southwest. And it takes hundreds and hundreds of years just for 1 inch of soil to be populated by organic matter from just how nature works. You have like animals coming in and grazing and leaving their poop all over the place. And that takes time. You also have plants, grass, trees, flowers, and other things growing and being left there alone where the roots are able to naturally till the soil. But with the introduction of human beings and how many of us like order, synchronized colors, for example, the way that we farm, and say, for example, just farming corn for acres and acres and acres and years and years and years, depletes the land of its diversity and of all of its organic matter. And, you know, with just us in America, in the last 100, 120, 130 years, decimating many of these farmlands, it will take a lot of effort for us to recover the lands and helping them become what they once were. Don't know how I ended up being there, but that's what happens when you let a man with a microphone go on many tangents. So yeah. Hopefully you guys are doing all right. Just want to put this out there and be a distraction for you guys for at least, you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes. I'm just writing down stuff of things I want to do once we are allowed to go outside. And that includes a lot of hiking and camping. So we shall see. What I'll it'll be a while before I go out on another road trip in a car. We'll see if I can fix some technical difficulties. I also have to figure out a destination. And if I can record a podcast while being on a motorcycle too, because that would be hilarious, I think. Just struggling to be on a motorcycle, you hearing just the gust of wind blowing at my face and me trying to talk. But yeah, hope you guys are doing well. And I apologize for you guys listening to my voice and not being able to listen to this podcast that is now forever and ever disappeared into the ethers of space. As always, my friends, see hope through all things.